Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Catch KNBR at your crib on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Now back to Tolbert and Copes on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you're listening to Mr. T on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, that's our next guest. We're getting ready to make the connection with Andrew Bogut. He's going to give us a call in just a couple of minutes here. He's calling us from Australia. So, 17 hours ahead? Is that the math? 17? Fewer than that, right? Well, you subtract 7 hours, but it's tomorrow. So it'd be 10 a.m. on Thursday morning in Sydney right now.
So what, you leave on a Monday? Would you get there on a Thursday if you fly down there?
You lose a day. How about this? When I flew back from Australia, I got back before I left. I left at like noon. I got back at like 10 a.m.
Time machine?
The time change is crazy. Yeah, so you lose a day going, but you get a whole day coming back.
The hell?
Watch Big Lebowski on the plane. Anyway, here to talk a little basketball, former Golden State Warrior, former number one overall pick, Andrew Bogut, joins us courtesy of the UMA guest line. Bogues, what's going on, man? How are you?
Been a long time. What's going on?
Bogues, what's happening? How you been?
Good, man. Good. Just, you know, retirement life. A lot of time with the kids, and that's about it.
It's early in the morning there. Have you upset anybody yet?
No, not yet. Still, the day's young, though. We've got plenty of time for that.
It'll happen. And you should know by now how sensitive Twitter is. You can't have Twitter jokes. Everybody gets upset with that.
Oh, you're referring to my Kendall Jenner joke.
Yeah, you can't do that. Everybody gets upset. No, you can't have fun on Twitter anymore like that.
Tell you what, those Kardashian fans are something else, aren't they?
There's a lot of them, too.
I thought it was an apt evaluation. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good evaluating by you, Bogues.
If I posted some of my direct messages, people would be quite surprised with the language these young ladies and men as well, the meninists, use. It's pretty interesting.
No, I would sign up. I'd be all good with it. But I don't want to mess with their I don't want to mess with their idols and their fans. It's too many of them.
I can't human beings, that family.
Yeah,
they should be idolized.
Well, Bugs,
big time. You kidding me? What did, look at all that stuff they've accomplished.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I guess not much. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to ask you what you thought watching the Warriors this year, because you were part of the team that won in 2015, and then, you know, the KD era kind of started, and they won a couple of championships. This was kind of back to, you know, Steph and Clay and Dre, the three guys that ended up winning it, along with, you know, you and Andre and Sean Livingston in 2015. What'd you think of this year? I mean, did it take you back to 2015? Did it look similar, or did it had a lot changed? It's been 7 years, but it seemed pretty familiar.
Yeah, I think it was similar from the aspect of that they weren't supposed to win it. I think I spoke to Draymond, or heard from Draymond around it, and he was saying that this one's almost, it's out of this one and the first one for the most sweetest, because whenever you're not expected to win and you win, it's so much greater in my opinion. I think obviously the KD era, they were expected to go undefeated really the whole year. And for a team like this, look, I had the Warriors picked to go to the conference finals and bow out to Phoenix. I thought Phoenix would bounce back from their runner-up year the year before. But a lot of people didn't even have the Warriors picked to kind of make the second, third round. But I still thought they, you know, Clay coming back, Wiggins was phenomenal. But it was a fun ride. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the chess match in the finals between the coaches and the adjustments and all that kind of stuff. And it was thoroughly deserved by the Warriors. And obviously having Steph Curry do what he did was, you know, amazing to watch.
What makes, you had a chance to play for Steve Kerr, obviously. What do you think makes him so successful? What is it about him? I played with him, and I've known the guy for 30 years, but having played under him like you did, what makes him successful? What makes guys respond to him?
Well, he's got a hell of a roster. Let's start there.
That's a given, yes.
you know, people forget the sliding door moment of Steve Kerr was the Knicks versus the Warriors for you know, and you know, you could argue if he goes to the Knicks, it was probably a one and done coaching job for him, right? With the roster they had there, but look, his strength is managing personalities, and that's the way the NBA has gone. I think the ratio from back in the day to now has changed. You know, back in the day it was 80% X's and O's, 90% X's and O's, 10%. People management. I think it's flipped on its head now. I really think it's 80-90% people management, knowing your people, how to manage players and talking to them and relationships. And the other 10%, I mean, look, no one's surprising anyone with X's and O's anymore in the NBA. Like, everyone runs the same stuff. I mean, there might be a few little tweaks here and there, but it's managing your personalities, and I think that's his greatest strength within the Warriors organization.
No, you're absolutely right. It's about the talent you have on the roster. I always said, Tovell Jackson, try that Zen crap down in Memphis. See how that would have worked back then. You have to have the players. I mean, that's just a given, but you also have to get the players to do, like, to feel like everyone's buying in. And I thought that's what you guys had that in 2015, is that one of his strengths is getting everybody to feel like, hey, your contribution is valuable and your contribution helps us win, whether it's score 30, get 13 rebounds, play defense, move the ball long, set a good pick. Like, it's all valuable. And I think a lot of that is from the offense, just the ball movement, and you got to touch the ball. David Lee, everyone gets to feel like they're a part of the offense. How much does that help the players to feel like, you know what, I'm not just standing out here watching these other guys do it. Whether I score or not, I feel like I'm involved in what's going on out here.
Yeah, being involved is very important, even if it's just a touch where you're swinging it. You know, I think everyone wants to feel like they're part of both ends of the floor. And I think, you know, the Warriors do have a unique system where they demand a lot from role players. Like, this is your role. We need you to do this. And that's why sometimes young guys with the Warriors struggle, because they know they can show more, they've got more talent, and it becomes a little frustrating to just continuously... I guess for them, you know, dribble handoff with Steph and then just go, you know, get the hell out of the way once you let Steph create. I think, you know, there's guys that struggle with that in the last 2 or 3 years that have been shipped out of there within a year. And you get that a little bit because it's a young guy. He's like, I can't get in my bag. I can't show what I've got. I'm just playing a role. But you're also on one of the greatest teams of all time, one of the greatest dynasties of all time, right? So it's you gotta be, you know, have that mindfulness around that. But you look at, if you play your role to what they're asking, you look at Gary Payton right now, you know, he just got paid. Yep. By playing a small, minute role, was almost out of the league. Like, sensational story, by the way, like, wanted to be an intern and all that. It's just, that's a Hollywood movie within itself. But he goes and gets, what did he get, 3 years, $21 million, you know, so,
29 million.
You know, if you 29, or yep. Apologies, that's a big A to left out. But yeah, I mean, it's, if you play your role, and he wasn't flashy, he was a lockdown defender, knocked down the open three, moved well off the ball. What did he average, 5 a game? Maybe 4 or 5 points a game, nothing alarming. But he gets a great deal out of it. So if you're a cog in that big machine, there's going to be a team that's going to want you because you've been part of a great system, and hopefully now, you know, he can bring that to another team.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's a great point, because, like, Damian Lee gets a contract with the Suns. Juan Toscano-Anderson gets a contract with the Lakers. People want to be a part. They feel like if you win, you know how to play basketball. And if you know how to play basketball, you know how to play winning basketball, they'd like you to be a part of their team. I mean, if you're a part of a winning team, Bogues, you can stay in the league for a long time.
Exactly, and I'd argue that those names you mentioned, if they were on a team that was 500 putting up those numbers, they'd be on a minimum contract next year.
You know? I agree.
So, yeah, that's just the way the league works, but it's, sometimes it's hard, like I said, to get young guys to buy into that, because you always think you can do more, and that's, you know, it's not always a negative thing. It could be a young guy is like, hey, I can show more, I've got more, but it's like, hey, we don't need that right now. We've got Steph, we've got Clay, we've got Draymond, we need you to do X, Y, Z. We know you've got more. We'll get there one day, but that can kind of frustrate young guys with an agent, and, you know, their brother or their auntie, uncle, mum, dad are in their ear and just saying you can do more. You're getting screwed, and some young guys just don't buy into it at a young age, and you know, that's just a part of the journey for most athletes.
Talking to Andrew Bogut on the UMA guest line. When you came back in 2019, you were talking about the culture and the managing the personalities, the great work that Steve Kerr does, and he's got a couple of good guys and good personalities there. How different was the culture when you came back? Did it feel different? Did the building act the same? I'm wondering, obviously without saying Kevin Durant's name, and I just did, what the difference was in coming back to that team?
Look, it was different. I think guys were worn out, and this wasn't because of KD. I think it's just the fact that the Warriors were the talk of the town for six straight years, where everything was about them, the super team, the lead story for every news program and TV program and newspaper article. And they were meant to win, so there's a pressure that comes with that. They're playing into June every year. So I think that started to wear on guys a little bit. There was definitely some fatigue in that locker room. I think I wouldn't say the culture was bad, but it wasn't that happy-go-lucky Warriors that I was a part of when we won it and when we finished second the year after. It was definitely different. It was much more of a grind than it was an enjoyment, I would say. And that happens with winning teams. It's happened to the Bulls dynasties. It's happened to the Lakers dynasties. And when it becomes to that point, you get the end result of guys leaving, and that's what kind of happened with KD.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
One of my favorite rivalries that never really had a chance to take off, Bugs, was you guys and the Clippers, because they were up and coming, and then you guys were up and coming, and then they traded everybody because they couldn't beat you guys. But it was so much fun, you and Jordan and Griffin and Paul. I mean, they had Griffin and Paul especially were easily hateable players. They just they were fun to hate, and the LA NorCal thing kind of played into it. It didn't last a long time, but how much fun was that rivalry for you?
Oh, it was great. I'm gonna still remember when I first got to the Warriors, the Clippers were kind of, they were the big bully to the Warriors. Like, it was funny because I got there and I didn't play the first two-thirds of the season because my ankle was still really bad and swelling up and whatever. But I remember, like, we had, there was kind of an eeriness of our locker room going into Clippers games where we just it almost, like, I wouldn't say we were defeated, but it was like they're the big bully, like we're in some trouble tonight. Chris Paul and Steph had the big brother, little brother relationship at that point. If you remember, they had the State Farm commercials where they played Steph as the little minion.
Yep.
Chris Paul. Chris was always kind of, I got you, young fella, keep your head up kind of stuff to Steph all the time. And it just was, I don't know, it was weird, right? So, once we made a few changes, obviously we got Draymond Green, some more toughness, Festus, myself, Harrison, and Andre as well. We started to punch back, and then we realized that, the bully doesn't like to get bullied. And it all just turned on its head within a year. They did knock us out of the playoffs that one season, the second season, but we never really were intimidated by him. And then obviously Steph just leaps and bounds over to Chris Paul status-wise and with, winning and whatnot. And it all kind of, it all kind of changed. And it was, it was really enjoyable rivalry. I still remember the Christmas Day game and getting Blake Griffin kicked out with a double technical. So, I still remember all that kind of stuff. All the antics. And it was great. Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed those games.
Is that something you took pride in, the game within the game, that sort of being able to get inside a guy's head? Because clearly, I mean, everybody likes to look back at Draymond getting tossed from the situation with LeBron, and people say LeBron baited him. But that happens across the league all the time. And when you see a team for six or seven straight games, I feel like tensions raise high. You can get into somebody's head like that.
100%. Look, if you've got half a brain as a basketball player, you know the foul counts. You know how many fouls guys have. I always knew who has a technical. I knew Blake had a technical at that point, and then there was a chance for us to get into a scuffle. So I was like, yeah, I want to get a T. And if he gets a T, he's out. So you know those things, and that is the game within the game. And he took the bait perfectly and got thrown out, and we end up going on the run and winning that game. And there was all that backlash about him not, I think his first tee probably was soft, but his second one was warranted. And you got to know those things. I think it's very, very important for the 1%ers. Usually will get you one or two extra wins in a regular season and potential playoff finals games.
That had to be pretty satisfying, have a plan and it worked, huh?
Yeah.
It's always a plan. Like, you just got to know. You got to know who has, you know, how many fouls. You know, it's not just scouting as far as shooting and all that kind of stuff. You got to know the game within the game. And I think, yeah, it's really important, especially with guys that you know will retaliate pretty easily. Like, sometimes you just take one for the team and get yourself a technical and pay the fine and get them thrown out. That's a win for your team for sure.
For you, who was the most fun challenge, both physically and mentally, to play against?
The fun challenge. Dwight Howard early in his career was tough. When I was in Milwaukee, he gave me some fits early on in my career. I kind of had his number late. But when he was in peak physical condition, he was really tough. Yao Ming, for me, was really tough. I mean, the guy's 7'6" and had the shooting touch of a guard. So, like, there were some games where I played perfect textbook post defense, push him off the block. He'd take two dribbles, wouldn't move me, and then he'd just shoot a fadeaway over his right shoulder, and I'm mucking testes, like, at his neck, and just nothing but net. So that was tough. I mean, myself and DeMarcus Cousins had some real good battles as well. I really got up for those, and that was another battle of getting in his head. And then we ended up being teammates, and I think we had some funny conversations about when we used to battle when he was up in sacks. So I like those, you know, back and forths, the mental game, and just get into a little bit of a physical battle with guys. I think they're good fun, especially when you look back on your career. That were definitely fun battles.
Yeah, but toward the end of his career, and he's still playing, actually. I should say toward the end of your career when you played against him, wasn't Dwight Howard easy to get into his head? I mean, this guy always did at least one goofball thing during the course of a game, and he was always baited by somebody doing something.
Oh, late in his career, no doubt. No, I'm talking about prime Orlando Dwight.
Yes.
Howard, where Stan Van Gundy posted him up 80 times a game. it was tough, man. He was, and you could foul him, but he'd make you feel it. He was physical. He was twice as athletic as he was in his early to late 30s. But yeah, the Houston Dwight, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about Orlando.
Yeah.
Houston. He was. That's what I'm saying. Once I had his number and figured out what buttons to push, it was kind of much easier for me. But yeah, in Orlando, he was very, very tough. When he was kind of young and motivated and still up and coming, he was. I don't think he gets enough respect for that Orlando era as he should.
No, he was fantastic. There is no doubt. I don't know if you remember the game. You weren't with the. I don't think you were with the Warriors yet. Your favorite coach Mark Jackson was coaching. He fouled Dwight Howard. I think he went to the free throw line 42 times.
Yeah.
In a basketball game, one of the most fun games I've ever had the privilege of watching.
Yeah, he had a lot of faith in his defense if he's doing that.
42 times. I was like, what are we doing here? So tell us what's going on with Rogues Bogues. I know the podcast, it's been going for a while. You're having some fun with it, some success with it. So for people, if people decide to tune in and listen, what are they going to be listening to?
Yeah, we'll kind of have a few different series. The main one, we do a weekly basketball series, myself and a guy named Mike Procopio. He worked for Kobe for a few years as his personal kind of film guy. Worked with the Mavs when I was there. He's done Jordan's camps. He's been all around the league for 30, 40, 50 years. And we just talk smack about basketball, what's going on. We try to keep it honest. He does swear a lot, so for your audience, you know, if the kids are around, they might need some earmuffs, but it is just basically just talk about basketball and try to give, you know, his point of view as a development coach and a guy that's you know, been around guys that way, and then me as a player and trying to read between the BS that you hear on ESPN and whatnot, where we're actually getting to the point of things. There's also a My Journey series, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's my journey. So it starts from childhood, chronological order from episode one to, you know, it's still ongoing. And we talk about every year I've been in the league and whatnot, and they've been pretty successful. So we've got a million and a half listens to date,
nice,
which is pretty good. And we will be, we'll go on a video soon as well. So I'm in the process of building a little studio out here, and I'd like to get a little bit more professional right now. It's hard to do because I'm doing it from my house. So you got the kids, you got to keep them quiet, and that's a mission within itself. But it's been enjoyable. We get guests on, we talk to many different people, and I think people for the most part have just enjoyed the fact that it's not clickbaity, it's not talk showy.
Yeah.
It's just honest, brutal. We're not scared to be truthful about certain things and players and whatnot. And they've enjoyed. I mean, the fans really enjoyed the honesty of it, I think.
No, absolutely, and that's exactly what they want to hear. When it comes to curse words, you mentioned your co-host uses curse words occasionally. Are there curse words in Australia? Is there an Australian curse word that you could say in English that people just wouldn't know what it was?
There's maybe wanker. English, Australian.
I kind of get that.
Use that one.
I kind of get that. They use that on Peaky Blinders a lot.
Right.
And so.
Yeah. But that's because you've watched English movies, right? So that'd be one. There's a few others, but we'll leave it at that one. But for the most part, it's the swearing ratio is probably 90-10 in favor of Mike. He definitely loves to get them out.
Well, and Bogues, you guys will phrase things differently. Like here, someone might tell you to blank off. There, you guys say go and get blanked, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
So it's just a phrasing. So instead of blank off, you're like, yeah, why don't you go and get it? Why don't you go and get blanked, and then that'll be it.
It was definitely an adjustment when I moved to the U.S. with some of my language. I had people staring. Like, unfortunately, the C-bomb in Australia, for the most part, has a different context than it does to the U.S. Like, this is the weird thing about Australian culture. You can use that word in a good way.
Your mates. You call them your mates that, right.
Yeah, so you're like, hey, you know, whatever, right? And I brought that over to the U.S. and when I first used it,
didn't work so well.
Like they wanted to kill me, and I kind of didn't understand why. And they're like, yeah, we don't. That word is rarely used here. And I'm like, okay, point taken.
I was playing golf over there in Sydney a couple of years ago, Bogues, and I was playing with a group of guys from Sydney area, from New South Wales. And they were like, I thought it was my first name, how much they were using it. I mean, these guys incessantly, yeah, dude. Exactly, yeah. They throw it out. It's like calling somebody bro. Or hey, man. Yeah.
No, it can be. Like, if you're, that's the thing. Like, if you say, hey, you're a mad CEO or whatever, like, that means you're a good guy. Like, it's just weird. It's really, and it's hard to explain to Americans because they just look at you like you're an idiot. So that was a reality shock when I was using it with a few college teammates, and they're just like, why are you calling me that? Like, what do I do to you?
Oh, man. Hey, before I let you run, anything TV-wise, Netflix or anything that you've watched that you really, I mentioned Peaky Blinders, one of my favorite shows of all time, but anything you've seen like on Netflix or Prime or anything that you think people might enjoy, one of your favorite series?
I'm doing the Lakers one right now. Winning Time, not too bad. That's been interesting in itself. What else have we done? It's a show called Rake, R-A-K-E, which is an Australian show. It's on, should be on Netflix.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting. Pretty interesting about a kind of a lawyer that has kind of a gambling problem and a bit of a degenerate.
Perfect.
Many different women, but it's really kind of, it's a lighthearted, gets dark at times, but it's really, really funny. So he's actually a high-end lawyer, which is really, really good, and it's an Australian one. So for people out there, it's a pretty, pretty good show. I think up to season 4 on that. So that's a good one to check out.
Gambling degenerate? That's right up my alley, Bugs. You kidding me?
Oh, me too.
You still playing poker?
Yeah. I'm on a cold streak, man. So I need some hugs and kisses, but... had a bad couple of months, but I'm still playing a fair bit. Finally got to play live this year for the first time in a few tournaments, which has been nice to be allowed to get back to society here in Australia. The government's allowed us to go outside again, which is always good. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting to probably get to the World Series. I was going to go this year, but I just pulled out late because we moved houses, so we're in the middle of a move. But next year, I'm definitely going to head over to Vegas and play in that World Series.
Oh, super awesome. Nice. That'd be awesome. Well, when you do, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to talk to you before that. It's always good catching up with you. Rogues Bogues is the podcast. It is. It's really good stuff. It's
no
a S, really
Tom. No S.
No S?
Rogue Bogues.
Rogue Bogues. Oh, my bad.
Everyone
okay.
does that. I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, because it's like it sounds.
Because everyone does it.
Well, because I guess it's two S's. It like, it just sounds good, Rogues Bogues, but it's not Rogues Bogues. It's Rogue Bogues. Rogue Bogues. See, that one S screws me up. It should be, make it two S's or no S's then.
See, Bug, this is where we'd call Tom that word. This is where we just throw that word at him and we just end the conversation.
Yeah, but you'd probably mean it in an American way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wouldn't like it.
Well, how do you think my co-host feels? He's got a lisp with S's, so.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Hey, Bugs, thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on with us. Best of luck with the podcast and love to have you on again soon sometime.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bogues, man.
See you, man. Oh,
Andrew
Bogan. Great stuff from
Rogue Bogues.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.